The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Hope you're doing well. We're getting oh so close to the weekend. And yes, if you are new here on a Thursday, it's busy. And if you are a regular here, you understand that Thursdays are a lot of fun here on the show. We'll talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network coming up here in hour number one. We'll talk to him at 2:30. We will kind of put a bow on everything with Auburn Athletics this year, as you do have a golf that is wrapping up right now, and you've got the women that are wrapping up and the men getting ready to play. But in terms of the spring sports of baseball, softball, those are done, right? Basketball, football, of course, in the offseason, and we're getting into those summer days. And so we will kind of wrap all that up with Brad today and talk to him about everything going on and what to, and I guess kind of how to summarize everything as we enter the true offseason of Auburn Athletics. So that's coming up at 2:30. And then in hour number two, we'll talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We'll get some live updates from the SEC tournament. He'll give us and tell us what he's been seeing so far, what's been a wild tournament so far. Yesterday, all four of the top seeds, 1, 2, 3, and 4, all got beat, and three of the four games were blowouts. I mean, they were just beatdowns yesterday there at the Hoover Met. So we'll talk to Chris. He'll tell us what he sees from there and kind of some of the big SEC storylines as well. Other than that, we got a lot of storylines to get to, and outside of those two guests, phone lines are open here on the Thursday edition of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to hear today here on the show? We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And it's only appropriate to start today with what I think is the biggest piece of information that you need to know. In case you have not looked at the calendar, and in case you have not understood what today represents, May 23rd of 2024, today officially marks 100 days until Auburn football kicks off in 2024. Huh? How about that? In case you didn't know that, if you're having a bad Thursday, I hope that made it just a little bit better. And if you're having a good Thursday, maybe that turns it into a great Thursday. 100 days until Auburn football kicks off inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium on August 31st against Alabama A&M. That is what should get you out of bed for the next 100 days. And there are just so many things that I look forward to this upcoming football season. And that's the question that I want to hear and the answers that I want to hear from you, my wonderful listeners who are with me each and every day. What are you most excited for this football season? In terms of Auburn, in terms of college football, SEC, I don't care. Whatever the case may be, what are you most excited for the 2024 college football season? Again, it can be with the sport as a whole. It can be expansion. It can be Auburn. I'd love to talk Auburn specifically, because there are so many things that I have on my mind that I'm excited for this upcoming football season. And I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I'm looking forward to what I hope is the turnaround season. I'm looking forward to year two under a new head coach, under Hugh Freeze, a guy that has stepped in and really taken charge at this Auburn football program and took over a program that I don't have to tell you was in one of the worst spots that it's ever been, ever in the history of its existence. It was in one of the worst spots that it's ever been. And a guy that stepped in, and record-wise, no, hasn't done a good job, I guess, but he's only been here a year. But everything else that he is supposed to do and is expected to do a good job at, he has done. He's given you hope. He's given you some positivity, and I'm talking about you, Auburn fans. I think he's put a little fear into other fans that are non-Auburn fans around the SEC because they've started to understand and take notice of what's happening down here because of what Hugh Freeze has done through high school recruiting and through the transfer portal and through NIL. All of those things have been elevated to one of the highest levels it's ever been. And so all of that gets me excited. And then you start branching off of those things and you start looking at the roster for Auburn this season. And oh my goodness, does that not get you excited? 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off, does this year's roster not get you excited for the year? It does for me. And throughout this summer, we're going to go through and break down the roster in each different position and the new faces and the new guys and the experienced guys and the returnees that Auburn is going to lean on heavily this year, especially on the defensive side of the football. Those are the guys that get me pumped up and ready to go. Those are the ones that when I look at it and it's like, man, we're only 100 days away. Just over 3 months, we've got the rest of May, June, July, and August. We have 2 full months left. You've got a little bit of May and technically most of August, if not all of it, because you start on the last day. But hey, when August 1 hits, college football will be played in that month. And you do have the week zero game, sure, and you've got all those other games. And of course, opening weekend has been expanded to about 6 days now. But when August 1 hits, college football will be played in that month. And we're just over 2 months away from that. And we're just 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off. And so the roster is what gets me excited. And there's numerous things with the recruits that you bring in. Sure, those flashy, sexy receivers that are coming in from Cam Coleman to Perry Thompson to Bryce Kane to Malcolm Simmons, all those guys. Right, all those guys that are coming in terms of the offensive line and the defensive line and the guys in the secondary and the ones that elevated Auburn's recruiting class to be competitive and be one of the top recruiting classes in the country. And to go back on the receivers, I think it's the best receiving class we've ever seen at Auburn. On top of the guys that are coming back, the Rivaldo Fairweathers of the world. Offensively, the Jarquez Hunters of the world. Defensively, how about Eugene Asante? Those guys are going to make this team so much fun and so exciting to watch. Those are the ones I look forward to watching in 100 days. I look forward to college football again. And we talk about it like it's been gone for so long. We just watched the national championship game a couple of months ago. And we do this every year, right? We get into this cycle. We get into this, I don't want to say a lull, but it's kind of what it feels like. Or it's like, man, we haven't watched college football in a long time. I miss it, right? You get into that mode of, man, I just miss watching college football. And now with social media more than ever, you can relive so many moments and you can see so many things in the algorithms now pop up, and especially on my timeline, and I'm sure a lot of yours are the same, no matter what site or website or app that you're on. I mean, I see videos constantly, every single day. Earlier today, the Trey Mason 2013 National Championship run against Florida State, where he broke through about 8 tackles and sprinted into the end zone with a minute 13 on the clock. That showed up on my timeline today. Why? I don't know. And it talked about how Trey Mason was so good at Auburn, which he was. But then it brings up, you know, the fact that Auburn didn't win that national championship, and I was heartbroken again. But that's how social media works, and that's how we do get to have a little bit of feeling of college football pretty much all year long. The new video game coming out, I'm excited about it. I don't know if you are or not, but that's something that I grew up on. That was a really important piece of my generation's upbringing with video games and the connection to college football. Something we have not had in over 10 years is something that we finally get to have coming up in July. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the SEC being expanded with two new teams, and not just in football, across all sports. Man, the SEC has been the dominant conference in just about everything it competes in for my entire lifetime, at least in the last 15 years. I was talking with Doug earlier, and I mean, we mentioned five or six different sports just in conversation that the SEC has been the best at for a long time. And now, in a conference where it just means more, where it truly does mean more to the teams in this conference than it does anywhere else, you are adding two historic schools. And notice how I said schools, not programs, because I'm talking across the board. You're adding Texas and Oklahoma. You're adding states to this conference. Not just a school, not just a brand. You're bringing in two brand new states to this conference. Do I think it's done? No, I don't. But that's exciting to me. I like seeing these things, and I know expansion, there's different parts of it that I'm not a fan of at times, but from an excitement level, absolutely. Look at the games we're going to get this fall. We get Auburn and Oklahoma. We get Texas, Texas A&M. We get old school rivalries that are reborn, that haven't been played in 40 years. We get those back this fall, this August, this September. That's exciting to me. That's something that I look forward to this season. And in future seasons, when Auburn gets to travel to Austin, and Texas gets to travel here, and Auburn gets to travel to Norman, Oklahoma. Like, man, that's cool. That's something we've never got to see in our lives, and we get to do that now. And you get all these big-time matchups of Georgia, Texas, and Alabama, Oklahoma now, and all these games, right? LSU, Oklahoma, LSU, whoever. I mean, just blindly pick two games and it's or two teams, and it's going to be awesome because of the expansion of Texas and Oklahoma joining the best conference in college football. So that's what I get excited about as we're 100 days away from Auburn football. And again, we're less than that from college football itself kicking off. Probably around 90 to 93 days for just college football to kick off, right? With the week zeros and then the extended week one. So all of that is what gets me excited for college football this season. On top of just the endless possibilities of and the continued arguments of who's the best coach in the SEC and who's the best player in the SEC and who's going to win the Heisman this year. We have Heisman odds now. We have predictions. We have betting lines already for some games for entertainment purposes only, of course. All of that bundled up together is what gets us going. That's what this state is about. We talk about football 365 days a year. Believe me, I grew up in the North for a long time. They don't do this. There's not one person in Columbus, Ohio today talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes football season. I promise. I lived there. I know. There's nobody out in California talking about UCLA or USC football in the end of May. They don't do that. But we do here. Because 100 days is when the countdown really starts. That's when you can really feel it. Right? 150, yeah, it's cool. 130, it's like, whatever. 110, that's fine, I guess. But when that 100 days hits, that's when you know, that's when it starts to get real. You'll go through the rest of May. You'll go through the lull of June. We'll get to July. And as Uncle T-Bone said yesterday, once July 4th is here and gone, that's when it really starts to get real. That's when you can see it, right? You can start to feel it. Conversations start being had. SEC Media Days rolls through, which I'm extremely excited about. And I think we've talked about this officially. We will be there, ESPN 106.7 once again. We will be at SEC Media Days in Dallas for that week, for SEC Media Days 2024. Excited for that. Doug's going to be there for the Max Roundtable. I will represent my show, of course, on the line, and then I believe Dan Peck will be coming with me from the drive. So all three shows are going to be there in Dallas once again for another fantastic week of coverage at SEC Media Days. And then once that gets through, man, it's here. I mean, the end of July hits, August 1, bam, there you go. We got football that month. And then it's truly on. You start having fall practice. We start going out to the football facility. We start getting some tidbits. We start to see some separation, quarterback battles and position battles. Man, all of that is exciting. And then the first Saturday hits, and we're off and running. And that's just 100 days away from right now. And that gets me excited. But what about you? What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to in this college football season? It can be college, SEC, Auburn in particular. I want to hear from you. We're 100 days away from Auburn football. I hope you can hear the excitement and the passion that I have for this. And I know that every single person that listens to this radio station on a daily basis, or this show, or any of the shows, you feel the same way, if not more. And I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'll take phone calls from you if we got them. Plus, there's an update in the story that shook the sports world last week. We'll talk about that when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
So a story that shook up the world last week, it was late, or I guess early Friday morning. So going on a week now where on the Friday of the PGA Championship in Louisville, Kentucky at Valhalla Golf Club, the number one player in the world, the number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, was arrested outside the golf club, taken in, mugshot went viral, got charged with four or five different things, one of them being a felony, and then he was released and went and shot 5-under in his round and still finished top 10 in the PGA Championship. And everybody's been kind of waiting for more news to come out about this because it was just so weird. It was just an awkward and a head-scratching event because of the narrative and what is known about Scottie Scheffler as a person on and off the golf course. He's deemed as the most boring man in golf because he's just boring, but he's a nice guy. Shows up, does his job, goes home to his wife and kid, right? That's what he does. And on that Friday morning, the world was just turned upside down in sports because nobody could figure out what in the world was going on. What just happened to Scottie Scheffler? And if you remember, you all know the details at this point, right? There was a massive wreck and accident and tragedy out front of the golf course where a vendor was struck and killed in front of that golf course. And so there was a major traffic jam in front of the golf course on that Friday morning. And certain individuals were trying to and supposed to be allowed to get into the golf course. Golfers, caddies, people like that, that are supposed to be there to play around a golf. Well, Scottie Scheffler was one of those people driving a marked vehicle saying, hey, I'm a player, I'm supposed to be here, and was trying to get around and get into the course. And one police officer with the Louisville Police Department was not having it. He was not going to let that happen. And the reports that we had and the information that we had was Scottie was trying to go around a bus, was then trying to turn left into the golf course. A police officer wearing a bright yellow vest, as was everybody out there at the time at 5:30 in the morning, dark, raining, things like that, quote, attached himself to the vehicle, was drugged 10 or 20 yards, apparently scratched his pants up so bad he couldn't wear them anymore, had bumps and bruises and scrapes and whatever. And he dragged Scottie Scheffler out of the car, slammed him up against the side, threw him in handcuffs, took him to jail. Bada bing, bada boom. Right? That's what we knew. Then it came out that, because of course people started questioning, okay, there's got to be video of this somewhere. There was video of Scheffler being taken away in handcuffs by Jeff Darlington, the reporter that was there, the ESPN reporter that just happened to be in the area at the time. There was that video and his account on kind of what happened. But people, of course, started saying and questioning, well, where's the body cam footage? That's become a big thing in policing nowadays. Where's the body cam footage? That'll tell us everything we need to know. Well, it just so happens that this arresting officer did not have his body cam footage turned on. It was not working. It was not activated at the time. It's convenient. And so we were all just kind of left of, so there's no video of this incident actually occurring. There's nothing that we have that can show us what happened here. Not so fast. There was a telephone pole across the road that just so happened to have a camera attached to it for whatever reason, pointed towards the golf course. I mean, for security reasons, I'm sure. And it just so happened to catch this event happen in real time. Now, if you have not seen the video, go find it, go watch it. Literally, hop on Google and type in Scotty Scheffler video, and it's going to pop up and it's all over the place. You can go watch it for your own two eyes. But I will tell you what the video looks like as I see it, okay? I've got it pulled up. I've watched it a couple of times. About half of the screen, half of the video is completely cut off because of two major buses that are parked towards the bottom of the camera's angle, the camera's view, okay? So already, half of this video is completely cut off by the tops of these major charter buses. But as the video goes, you can see towards the top half of the screen, the entrance of the golf course where people were turning left, just like Scotty Scheffler, and you see his car turn left into the golf course. Well, then coming up from what appears to be from behind a bus, you can see an officer, the eventual arresting officer in his bright yellow vest, sprint towards the front of the car, and as Scheffler stops, we know that he had a flashlight in hand. We were told that by people on the scene. And he rears back and smacks the window or the top of the car with his flashlight. Bangs on it a couple of times. Scotty Scheffler stops the car. I guess you could say the driver, because just watching the video raw, you wouldn't know that's who it was. But this is Scotty Scheffler. He stops the car. Officer, they're having a conversation. Tries to rip open the door. Still having a conversation. Eventually, Scotty Scheffler will open up his door, and the cops already leaned in, tries to almost maybe turn the vehicle off. I'm not really sure. He peeked his head in a couple of times here, eventually gets Scotty out of the car, rips him out, throws him up against the side, puts him in handcuffs, and takes him to jail. And we've all seen the videos of the reporter trying to get an explanation, saying there's nothing you can do. He's going to jail. That's it. That's it. That's all you can say. He's going to jail. And that's the video that came out today. And so everybody is now questioning and wondering, where in the world did Scotty Scheffler drive this 20, 30 yards and drag this police officer? I don't know. Did it happen below the buses right in this video where we can't see it, and that's what got the officer enraged? Possibly. Or maybe it never happened at all. We don't know. And what's even crazier, not only did this video come out today, it's been reported that the charges are not being dropped. They are taking Scotty Scheffler to court. And they're going to go with these charges, and they're going to press them, and they're going to try them. Which I think is wild to me. That is just insane. That the Louisville Police Department and the city of Louisville and whoever else is involved here, they are so confident and they have just stuck to their high horse so bad that they plan on taking the number one golfer and the best lawyer he could find, and they're going to go to court and try to charge him with this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And his defense attorney, Scotty Scheffler, he said, I want to go. Let's go to court. Typically, it's not a great sign when you've got the defense attorney who's so confident that he wants to go and defend this. I don't know, man. It's just smelling even weirder and weirder. And you would think at some point there would have been an adult in this situation that said, maybe this wasn't as bad as we thought it was. I'll say this before we get to break. The officer who was the arresting officer has been, quote, disciplined for not having his body cam footage on. Okay. When we come back, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us. We will talk all things Auburn athletics coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
The Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we are joined by Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Thursday, has been since football season. Brad, it's crazy that as we get towards the end of May, Auburn athletics are not completely done, but they're on the verge of wrapping up.
Yeah, men's golf is still to come. Track and field has a little bit left. But, yeah, because of what Coach Thompson and baseball have done the last few years, we're used to still having baseball to talk about for at least another couple of weeks. This is odd. I was able to go to some events at my kids' schools this week, those last week of school-type celebration events, and haven't been able to do that the last couple of years. It's a little bit odd.
Yeah, an early offseason for a lot of us in this business. And you know, sometimes it's not a bad thing. Like you said, you get to be a part of some events in late May that you're not typically around for. And so glad to hear that you were able to do that. But Brad, I'm sure you know that today, on May 23rd of 2024, we are officially 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off for the 2024 campaign. If that doesn't fire you up, Brad, I don't know what will.
No, that's exactly right. So about, you know, less than 3.5 months, and we're far more removed from the end of the last season than we are the distance to the new season coming up. That's kind of how I measure it. Like, what's the halfway point in the off season, in the no football off season? Thankfully, athletics is now at a point where there's so much more to be interested in year round. But from the last football game to the first, we're far beyond the halfway point. Now, starting tomorrow, we get the double-digit number countdown, and you know who's the favorite number 99 ever, and things of that nature. It's a lot of fun. This is a fun time of year because we can project, and we can, you know, everybody's undefeated and will be for another 3.5 months, and we can all come up with all the reasons why they'll stay that way.
Well, I've been asking the question, Brad, and I'm sure that you will not be able to limit it to just one thing, but what is it that gets you most excited for this Auburn football season in particular for 2024 as we are 100 days out? What are those things that you're most excited about and most looking forward to coming up this late August and into the 2024 season?
It's the wide receivers, and how much of a difference do they make? You know, how much has the ceiling changed? This team should have won more than 6 games a year ago. I think with the full focus of a staff that is all on the same page, and another year for Peyton Thorne to get better, and another year for the offensive line to get better and add some key pieces there, the biggest turnover comes in the wide receiver room. So is that turnover, is that elevation of the talent enough to move Auburn to 8 wins, to help move Auburn? Because it's never just the receivers. It's the defensive line and linebackers and secondary and special teams. It's everybody, but the biggest change, I think, comes in that wide receiver room. So is that enough to help lead the charge to 8 wins, 9 wins, more than that? If you get to 9, depending on what the losses are and how you look in the wins, you're at least in the playoff discussion. So, you know, how much of a difference can those new pass catchers make is storyline number one for me.
And I'm with you. I mean, I think that's where most Auburn fans are sitting, is just the on the edge of their seat and just waiting to see what the receivers are going to do. And the exciting part about that, Brad, is it's not just one. I know Cam Coleman gets all of the hype right now, but, I mean, you have DeAndre Lambert-Smith, who came in from Penn State, the transfer, plus all of the freshmen and the returners as well. I mean, Auburn has depth, and Auburn has options at that receiver spot this year, and that's what really has Auburn fans excited, don't you think?
No question. Robert Lewis, a guy who had 600 or so yards at Georgia State last year, 1,000 yards in his career, he looked good in the A-Day game. He looked different. He looked like a seasoned, productive receiver. Cam Brown, I hope he stays healthy. He's a guy that could have joined the, six or seven or eight other guys who went to the portal in the offseason from that receiver room, but he didn't. So I want to see him stay healthy. I think he'll be a contributor. And then, you know, the other freshmen that are from Malcolm Simmons and Bryce Kane and Perry Thompson, who will join over the summer. Perry's bigger than Cam. Perry played in an offense last year at Foley that had an inexperienced sophomore quarterback who's much smaller than the quarterbacks that they played in the rest of their division. And as a result, they ran the ball a lot more at Foley last year than they have in the past. His numbers are a little bit skewed because of the offense and the quarterback and kind of some things that they did at Foley last year that they haven't done in previous seasons. So if people are sleeping on him, or if it takes him a few games to get fully acclimated, he's still got a world of potential, and I'm excited to see him. So, yeah, you've got more options in the wide receiver room than guys who traditionally contribute in a big way on any offense. Even the most prolific offenses, you're not going beyond four or five receivers who have more than 200 or 300 yards in a season. And Auburn has the bodies to fill those slots in a way that they haven't before.
That's what has fans ready to go and just eager to see what the offense becomes, to the quarterback position, to those receivers, a running back room that is still going to be one of the best in the SEC, that much improved offensive line. That's where Auburn fans want to see what can the Tigers become in 2024. Something I mentioned earlier, Brad, that gets me excited for this upcoming season is the addition of Texas and Oklahoma and seeing the Sooners come to Jordan-Hare on the back end of that five straight SEC, or I guess five straight home schedule to start the year, to get to see Oklahoma play inside of Jordan-Hare. Those types of things are just, I'm a nerd for that type of stuff, Brad, to see a new team stroll into Jordan-Hare.
And you only get that first time one time. So the first time Oklahoma comes here, it's the only first time they'll come to Jordan-Hare. And Texas in a few years, same with them. Auburn will only play out there for the first time once. I'm kind of with you. That's the romantic part of college sports and the historic part of it. And that's got a chance to be an important game. If Auburn takes care of business in its first four, now you get Oklahoma at home. Oklahoma will be coming off its first ever SEC game. It'll be on, or it'll be at home against Tennessee. So if they've lost that game, now all of a sudden they face a ton of pressure. And if they've won that game, okay, fine. Now you go into a team against, into a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium where Auburn should be undefeated. They'll be ranked if they're undefeated, and that atmosphere will be off the charts. And we know what kind of environment Jordan-Hare is, especially if the team is riding high at that point. So it has the chance not just to be an historic game or an exciting game, but an important game for Auburn's season, for Oklahoma's season, and for the league in general.
Well, I need you to pull all those strings that you have and all the power that you have on that side of town, Brad, to make that a night game. Can you do that for us?
I don't know, because I think Georgia and Alabama also play that week, and they may have already been in that. I'll be very curious now that ABC and ESPN have virtually all of the conference games in a given week. Do they protect those two teams in that time slot, or do they allow for a second primetime game?
Right.
That's all but guaranteed a primetime slot if it's not already announced. And, it makes sense for it to be a night game, but what makes sense to us as fans doesn't always make sense to the TV executives.
Yeah, that's fair, and I'm pretty sure, I'm looking it up as we speak, I'm pretty sure that the Alabama-Georgia game has already been announced as the night primetime game on ABC, but yeah, as you mentioned, you do have ESPN in there too, and so you'd be able to throw that game, and that's the 6:30 game on ABC is Alabama-Georgia. So look, just put Auburn-Oklahoma on ESPN, or put it on ESPN too. That's fine. Auburn fans just want the chance to play that Oklahoma game under the lights, as we are talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins me every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. As football, basketball, baseball have all wrapped up, Brad, if you're able to put what was this last year of Auburn athletics kind of into summarize, if you're able to do so with the highs and the lows and everything to kind of put you on the spot here, of course. Summarize that for me in terms of what you guys saw in the booth for all these games and just the success and the lack thereof for Auburn this season across 23 and 24.
I'll tell you the thing that I take away from it, and it's not the SEC tournament championship for men's basketball or a team that was in the hunt for a conference championship throughout the chase or a first-year coaching staff on the football side of things that continued the revitalization of the atmosphere around the program. There had been a stale, there had been kind of a stagnant trajectory until this first season with Coach Freeze and what they've done on the recruiting trail and in a lot of elements in the program. The trajectory is headed back upward. It's not even the lows of the disappointment of the baseball season or the individual successes therein or the curiosity to see how the roster is different going into next year, because the expectations won't fall off. It's where Coach Thompson and staff have put the program. What stands out to me about this year is that fan support. Whether you had a first-year football coach, a 10-year basketball coach competing for a championship, or a baseball program with high expectations that, you know, the last two weekends of the year were out of the race for the SEC tournament, and yet fans were packed. Crowds were phenomenal. Enthusiasm didn't wane, didn't waver. That's what stands out to me, is Auburn Athletics is in such a healthy place right now, operationally, financially, and you're seeing, whether it's the established coaches that are competing well or learning from mistakes and changing some of the things they're doing, or Coach Freeze in football with all kind of upward momentum, this is as healthy and a good spot for athletics as a whole as we've seen at Auburn in a while.
I like that. I think that's a good way to put it, and I think a lot of fans are in agreement with you, Brad, just to, across the board and even outside of the big three, right? I know softball, you're going into what's a new era and what that can become and the possibilities there, and heck, what we've been talking about with the golf teams and the tennis teams and how they've just continued to have success, and just across the board how Auburn Athletics continues to be on the right side of NIL and the progression of where college sports are going in the wild, wild west that it has become. I just think Auburn's in a good spot, and fans are buying in, whether it be financially or just from their support from across the state and across the country. I mean, the Auburn fan base and truly the Auburn family, Brad, I think you're right. I think it's as strong as it's ever been.
Volleyball set an attendance record, single match.
That's
and
right.
Season. Women's basketball set an attendance record, and they continue to add and improve. And you can see Coach Jay building that program. I may be leaving some teams out. We know what golf has done, as you mentioned. Gymnastics continues to be a top-tier program nationally. So, yeah, and if I'm leaving anybody out, it's not intentional, but I think that goes to show you exactly what you're talking about. It's not one sport, two sports. It is across the board. They're in a good spot.
Brad, I got to ask, what does the offseason look like for Brad Law now that there are no games to call? I know you'll be getting prepared for football. We'll have our conversations on the technical side as we get closer. But what does the offseason look like for Brad Law over the next couple of months?
I'm going to spend as much, I'm going to get as much sand between my toes as I can. on the work side of things, we are working with all of our affiliates, like the wonderful Auburn Network group of stations here locally. But we work on our affiliate contracts and affiliate relationships, and we go visit the great radio stations around our state that bring Auburn to the Auburn family. That's an important piece of what we do. And so that's kind of the key thing that I work on over the summer. And then I produce the vast majority of all of our production elements in our broadcast. So we try to get ahead, work ahead, and have some sponsor functions and those 9-to-5 things. No strange hours with no games on the schedule. We're going into the office between 8 and 9, and we're leaving around 5.
Nothing wrong with that, and it's well deserved for you and Andy and Jacob and everybody over at the Auburn Sports Network. You guys did a fantastic job across all the sports this season, and man, we're just so happy and honored to be a part of it. And it's been a lot of fun in year one with us and our relationship, and looking forward to many, many more. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's been with me every Thursday since football season. It's crazy that it's been that long already, Brad. We've had a lot of fun on Thursdays. Tell people where they can find you, where they can find anything they need to know, as, yeah, it is kind of winding down on the Auburn Sports Network side of things.
Yeah, AU Sports Network on all social media. War Eagle Plus has some of our content there, too. You can sign up for a subscription. And then, personally, I'm doing the show with Zach Blackerby on YouTube, Village Vice. Look us up on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and we will appreciate that. We'll keep the football talk going throughout the season as well, throughout the off season as well.
Awesome. Brad, I appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. And yeah, as always, I have such a good time talking with you. You have such a unique way of putting things, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
I appreciate you having us, and we'll look forward to doing it next time that we do it. And hope everyone has a great Memorial Day weekend. War Eagle.
Thanks so much. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, been with me every Thursday since football season. And that will kind of wind down a little bit, as there is not any athletics to actually talk about. So we'll have him on periodically and make sure that we get updates as we need them. And then, yeah, football season, we'll pick right back up with him. And looking forward to that. Always a good time having the one and only Brad Law here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break in hour number one. Come back, wrap it up. Phone lines back open. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Always appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network being with us, talking all things Auburn athletics, and an update from Hoover as the games just continue to be played at the SEC baseball tournament. Tennessee and Texas A&M doing battle right now in the elimination game. And remember, these are the top four seeds. This is Tennessee is the one seed, and Texas A&M is the four, losing yesterday. All four of the top seeds lost yesterday. And I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, I believe that was the first time in the history of the SEC tournament that all four of the top seeds lost on the exact same day. I think. I'm pretty sure I saw that. So that's pretty crazy. Tennessee is currently on top of Texas A&M 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. And look, I know Auburn didn't make it, and they weren't particularly close to making it, right, just because of how the season played out. And yes, the season ended on a good streak, I guess, of winning two straight SEC series. But man, if Auburn had found their way into this tournament, I mean, just given how the rest of the rest of the games have played out, Auburn may have made a run here in Hoover. I mean, the upset city has been out in Hoover, and you just never know what's going to happen up there. And I can't believe it. I mean, we're to Thursday afternoon, and we've yet to have any weather up there. It's a miracle. It really is wild. So I'll keep you updated on what's going on at the SEC baseball tournament there at the Hoover Met. But wanted to talk about this briefly, and we'll get into some more of this in hour number two. 247 has their updated SEC power rankings for basketball, and there are so many different outliers here, and a lot of it has to do with, right, you're dealing with players that have still not determined if they're coming back. Obviously talking about Mark Sears at Alabama, and they have until May 29th, so have about a week to decide if they want to withdraw, if they have eligibility. Of course, any player that declared for the NBA draft, they have until May 29th to declare if they want to come back to school or they want to leave their name in the draft and go and try to be drafted and play in the NBA. So he is a big part of this, and where you put Alabama in terms of power rankings. You're talking new head coaches, right? John Calipari at Arkansas with all his former Kentucky players. You've got Mark Pope at Kentucky now with all the transfer portal additions that he's made. Bruce Pearl here in Auburn with the portal additions he's made with the guys coming back, right? Dylan Cardwell, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chaney Johnson, most importantly, Jahni Broome. So all of those things are in consideration. And Auburn right now is at the top of the power rankings. They've got Auburn sitting at number one. And you know what? I think right now, I think that's correct. I think that is correct for Auburn basketball to be the number one team in the SEC going into 2024 and 2025 as of right now. Because of not knowing whether Mark Sears is coming back. Because he's that good, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have to tell you that. You saw it play out firsthand. You saw it. Mark Sears is that good. And he makes Alabama that good. He's that valuable to them. I've said it numerous times. If Auburn had had Mark Sears as their point guard, Auburn would have still be playing in March Madness. They'd still be going. That's how good that team could have been. But as of right now, yeah, Auburn's definitely the best team in the SEC, roster-wise, coaching-wise, everything. But that could change. But again, it all runs through this state. The starting five, according to them, I don't think there's any confusion here. J.P. Pegues, Denver Jones, Chad Baker, Mazzara, Chaney Johnson, and Jahni Broome. I'm excited for that. And I'm going to talk about that getting in to hour number two. But we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 334-321-1390. Basketball, football, all sorts of things coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you know where to find the podcast. You can go to ESPNAU.com. You can download our new Radio Alabama app, which is our sister company up in Sylacauga, us and our Auburn Network, us, and then them, Radio Alabama. We've all merged into one app, and so you can find it there as well, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We talked Auburn football in hour number one. We'll talk some more of that here in hour number two as we are 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off in the 2024 season. It's crazy to believe that we are just 100 days away getting into double digits of counting down until Auburn gets underway in the 2024 campaign. So we'll talk some more about that here in hour number two, but had good conversation in hour number one. Also, we talked with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in the first hour, kind of recapping and putting a bow on everything. When it comes to Auburn athletics, there's still a couple of the spring sports out there competing, track and field, men and women's golf, but in terms of the big three and outside of that, we kind of wrapped all that up, and Brad had some good things and some really good words, kind words to say about that and just about the season kind of winding down as well. So that was all in hour number one. We are going to talk more Auburn football here in hour number two, talking some more Auburn basketball, continuing that conversation from the end of the hour. And then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he will join us coming up at 3:30, and we'll talk all things SEC, including updates from the SEC tournament and everything else going on around the Southeastern Conference. Until then, phone lines are open. I do want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. The question that I've posed to people today is, what are you most excited about for the Auburn football season coming up in 2024? We're 100 days away. What is it that gets you excited? What are you ready for in this season? It can be a player. It can be a position group. It can be something not even football related. I don't care. Whatever whatever it is. I listed off about 30 things that I was excited about in the first hour. So that's the question that I'm posing to you. You can call in and we can talk about that. 334-321-1390. But the conversation we were having to end hour number one is the fact that right now, in pretty much any projection that you find, Auburn basketball is atop of power rankings across the board. All right. And these are the rankings that I'm looking at right now. This is from 247. And they just ranking these teams in the SEC based on what they have right now and what they project to be moving forward in 2024 and 2025. And I was talking about at the end of the hour how there are still some question marks out there. The biggest one, without a doubt, is whether Mark Sears comes back for Alabama. If he does, that makes them probably the best team in the SEC. If he does not, they're still a great team. They're still top five, top three, but they're behind your Auburn Tigers. And that's where 247 has Auburn right now, is atop of the power rankings. And it's so crazy because Auburn has underperformed in the postseason year after year. Basically, since the Final Four, Auburn has underperformed in basketball. And now you look at this roster and what's coming in compared to what's coming back, and comparing all of that to what Auburn has had in the past, yeah, it's still a great roster, but it's comparable to what it's been. I still think it's better, but man, that Jabari Smith team was stacked. Last year's team was stacked, and yet those teams never lived up to the expectations. And so here we are, and I know it's the end of May. We've still got a long way to go until the basketball season. I don't know what the countdown is on that. If somebody wants to find it and let me know, please do. But here we are at the end of May, and Auburn basketball and Bruce Pearl are already number one in the power rankings. Number one, and the expectations are extremely high. And you and I have had this conversation. You, the listener, me, the crazy talking sports radio guy, have had this conversation about it's time. The pressure is on for Auburn basketball because fans seem to be losing a little bit of patience. Not much. And I'm not saying that you got to get rid of the guy. I'm not saying any of that. We're not going down that road today. But what I am saying is, fans are starting to get a little uneasy. The chair just got a little uncomfortable because of what has been happening and the lack thereof over the last handful of years. And now, going into 24 and 25, you have all this talent, some of the best talent in the SEC. And the expectations are through the roof. You've got to flirt with them a little bit if you're Auburn and BP. You got to find a way to get to those expectations somehow, some way. Because listen to this roster. Here's your projected starters, and I think this is accurate. J.P. Beguise at the one. Denver Jones at the two. Chad Baker-Mazzara at the three. Chaney Johnson at the four. And Jani Broome at the five. Coming off the bench, you have Jahad Pettiford, who, by the way, in case you didn't see this, he just dropped a little 60-piece last night. In case you didn't see that, there's video of that on the internet. 60-piece against some of the best talent in his area. Now, I say that with a non-visible, in your perspective, asterisk. Okay, if you watch the video, the defense was pretty poor. It was pretty abysmal. And there's other words you could throw in there that are not clean for the radio. It was not great. Okay, it was lazy, it was bad, it was weak. There's a lot of other words. The defense was not good, but he still had a field day, did Mr. Todd Pettiford, and it's a fun thing to watch, and the kid's going to be good. There's no doubt about that. So you've got him, Chris Moore, Dylan Cardwell, Ja'Kai Howard, and Jaheim Turtle Hudson, and man, this is a good group of talent in the starting rotation and coming off the bench. It's deep. It's very, very deep. But I think it's a legitimate question to start asking, how deep should it be? And what I mean by that is, we saw a year ago when Auburn and Bruce Pearl played 10 or 11 guys, where, yeah, we had two guys at every position. Auburn was in a great spot. Didn't really benefit you at the end, though, did it? It didn't really pay off the way that you were hoping it would come NCAA tournament. And I'm not saying that's the main reason Auburn didn't go far, but it didn't help you as much as you thought it would. Rather than finding your six, seven, possibly eight guys and saying, all right, this is who we have. This is what we're running with. We're going to live and die by this, which I subscribe to that line of thinking a little bit more. Rather than trying to stretch it out to 10 guys, find seven and possibly eight and narrow it down come March. You think the ones that don't make that cut, but that's just how you got to roll. And so you look at this roster and you start predicting, okay, who's that going to be? Well, you got your starting five, but you still have Dylan Cardwell, who's going to be a big-time player for you. You have Tahad Pettiford, who's going to be a big-time player for you. And you have Turtle Hudson, who's going to be a big-time player for you. I don't know what Chris Moore is going to give you other than some minutes here and there. Let's just say that like it is, okay? Chris Moore is going to give you some minutes in garbage time. Jakai Howard, that's an interesting one too, because he's uber-talented. We've just got to find a spot for him to fit. And I still don't think that that starting five that most people are predicting of Pegues, Jones, Mazzara, Johnson, and Broome, I don't think that's set in stone. And it should not be. That should be able to be adjusted. That should be able to be adjusted before game one, through the non-conference play, and maybe even into SEC play. And then once you find a lockdown, true starting five that works the best with the guys rotating behind them, then you lock it down and you move forward. But it's not surprising to me that right now you do have Auburn in 247, and most outlets have Auburn as the top team in power rankings in the SEC right now. That's not surprising at all. And here's the first line. I'll read you this and keep going. Auburn is loaded. That's what it says. Auburn is loaded. And it's exactly right. Auburn at the one, Alabama ranked two, and I've continued to say that will jump. They will move up if Mark Sears comes back for Alabama. And as of right now, listen to this starting five. Cliff Omorui at the center, Grant Nelson at the four, Chris Youngblood at the three, Latrell Reitzel at the two. And as of right now, if Mark Sears does not come back, you know who's going to be starting at the point guard spot in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is Aiden Holloway. So keep that in mind. That'll be interesting. Alabama at the two. Tennessee, three. They've got some serious talent. There's no doubt about it. Zakai Ziegler is hopefully coming back. And I say hopefully because that guy's a baller, man. He's a really, really good player. And the injury just completely destroyed his season and left him to where he could not be an impact at all. And so I'm excited to see what he becomes there at Tennessee. They're in three, Texas A&M four, and then they have Florida at the five. And I'm telling you, do not sleep on Tom Golden in Florida. That is a fantastic coach. I've got my eyes on him. And I'm going to leave it at that. Because he's really good. And he's going to be really good. And if Florida doesn't give him what he needs, he will leave. Because Florida is not what it has been. It's not what it used to be in college basketball. Which is so crazy to me. But it's not. There are better programs in the conference. And there are better programs in the country if they don't give him what he needs. So Florida at five, that still leaves a handful of teams in the SEC going into the basketball season that I think you can make arguments that should be top five. How about Texas? How about John Calipari in Arkansas? How about Kentucky? Is Kentucky going to be worth anything? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. Here's their current projected starting lineup. Kirk Creasa, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Lamont Butler, you know that name. Kobe Brea, you know that name. Andrew Carr, you know that name. Amari Williams, you should know that name too. There's big name players that they've gotten through the transfer portal, did Mark Pope and Kentucky. And then John Calipari and Arkansas, let's see what their projected starting lineup is for that right now. Boogie Fland, who is a baller. Janelle Davis, Carter Knox, Adut Thiero, and Jonas Adu. So numerous of his former Kentucky players and Kentucky targets are going to be joining him in Fayetteville. Those are two good teams. Arkansas and Kentucky, again, where do they have Texas in this list? They have Ole Miss at 8 before Texas at 9. I just don't know about Ole Miss. I really don't know. And they've got talent, but I don't know. Is it bad for me to think that Ole Miss is just limited in what they're going to be able to do in basketball? Even with the great coach that they have in Chris Beard. Like, he's a really good coach, and he has won everywhere he's been. So maybe I'm just being ignorant in terms of overlooking Ole Miss every year because I just don't believe in them in terms of basketball. I don't know. Maybe I'm being ignorant, but I'm going to continue to be until they give me a reason to not be, basically. Texas at 9, they have Mississippi State at 10, and this is kind of where it starts dropping off. Missouri at 11, Oklahoma at 12, the other newcomer. Georgia down there at 13. Watch out for Georgia. I'm interested to see if Mike White continues to kind of elevate that program a little bit. South Carolina 14, Vanderbilt at 15, and then LSU down at 16. But highlighted by Auburn up at number 1 in terms of basketball power rankings, and that's pretty consistent across the board. I mean, some have Alabama being number 1 because of they project Mark Sears to come back. And man, I keep changing my thought on it. I have no idea if Mark Sears is coming back. I keep thinking he will. But man, he's going to wait till the deadline to do it. And it's gotten so dramatic now that there are numerous fake accounts on X, on formerly known as Twitter, which you have to say that, I guess. There are fake Mark Sears accounts that are tweeting out talking about him going to the NBA, coming back to Alabama, not to believe this account, only believe this account. I mean, there's dozens of fake ones out there now. Isn't it crazy that's the world we live in? Who would have thought, huh? So who knows? But it shows how big and impactful that decision is going to be for Alabama and Nate Oates, and how impactful and important it's going to be for the SEC in basketball this season. If he comes back, good for them. If not, good for us, I guess. But Auburn's got to worry about Auburn. And I think the roster that we have right now is good enough to not just win the SEC, it's good enough to win a national title. You just have to put it together. And you've got to win big games. And you have to win those big games in a row. You've got to win them in succession. You've got to get to March and get over that hump. You cannot get beat by Yale. You can't let Miami curb stomp you. You can't let those things happen anymore. Because the patience and the fuse on Auburn fans and some Auburn radio personalities is becoming thinner and smaller and shorter by the day. Whatever word you want to use, that is happening here. And it gets frustrating when you continue to watch good rosters, I'm not going to go as far to say went to waste, but pretty darn close to that. Because Auburn has had teams in recent years that should have done more than they did. And it's okay if that happens here and there. But we're going on years and years of this happening. And I do not want this to become a trend because of how it could impact things down the road for Auburn in recruiting, NIL, transfer portal, and everything else in between. Let's take our first break here on hour number 1. Question still stands. I want to hear from you. We're going to talk some more about this when we come back. We are 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2024 season. What are you most excited about in terms of this upcoming college football season? Give me a call, 334-321-1390. We'll talk some more about that when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, man, we're having a lot of fun here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, will be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So you still got time to get in on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. We are 100 days away. Play the fight song, right? As we are 100 days out from Auburn football kicking off the season, and even sooner than that, from football in general kicking off for college with week zero games now and the week one being extended to 5 and 6 days. And man, it's exciting. And we talked to Brad Law earlier in the show, and I asked him the question, what are you most excited about for Auburn football in 2024? And it was the very common, popular, but most would say right answer. And he talked about the wide receivers. He talked about the wide receivers and what they are going to bring from an excitement standpoint. And look, in my lifetime, and there are people that can speak to this for a lot longer than I can and who have covered more football seasons than I have in terms of Auburn, but I can't remember a year where the receivers in the receiving room was this hyped up. And that's normally used in a bad term, being hyped up, right? That's normally used in a defensive stance of, oh, they were so hyped up and then they didn't live up to the expectations. Like, sure, that happens. But I'm just talking about here on May 23rd. I mean, man, we've never talked about wide receivers as much as we do right now. And if you were to ask that question, that same question, hey, what excites you most about this upcoming season over the last two decades? How many answers would be, and I'm excited about that receiving room, man. They're exciting. That's a lot of fun. They're going to be good. How many times has that answer come out of people's mouths in the last 20 years in terms of Auburn? I don't think very often. And if it did, it was going to be a single receiver, just one, where they were like, oh, yeah, he's going to be good. And a lot of people are talking, sure, about Cam Coleman right now, but man, there's so many guys in there. There's so many of them in there. From Cam Coleman to Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane, the speedy Gonzalez that he is, right? And then you look at Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State, which some people are still giving him flack for coming here and people saying he's not as good as advertised. I guess we'll find out. To Vervaldo Fairweather, who is going to be a superstar as well. It's exciting to see. And it all boils back to the quarterback room, sure, but look around. Look at all the different positions. For me personally, you want to ask me, all right, Jacob, what position in particular excites you the most in 100 days to see? I'll go off of the common answer. And if you listen to this show, if you've listened to me on behind any microphone during my short career, it's the linebackers. Uncle T-Bone and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Man, the linebacker room's going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun. They're going to be flying around, getting to the football, and just straight getting after it. They are going to be getting after it on the defensive side. You've got a great mixture of senior leadership, excellent experience, and just flat-out raw talent. And I said this a year ago, and I'll say it again because it applies even more now than it did then. Auburn has depth. Yeah, and I pronunciated it that way so you could fully understand what I'm saying. Depth. They have bodies in the linebacker room, and not just bodies to say they have them. They've got skilled guys in there that no matter who jogs out in the linebacker room or from the linebacker position, whoever jogs out there, either a linebacker or the buck or whatever, you're going to have confidence in them. And the potential of what they are going to do is really good. And I'm not trying to throw any shade to what Auburn had a year ago, but the linebacker room did not live up to what I thought it was going to be. There were some dudes in there that just didn't, I'm just going to be really honest, didn't need to be there. And as far as I know, those guys are gone. And the ones that should have been there and needed to be there have come back. And the biggest one being Eugene Asante. That's our guy. So excited for that room. and just the atmospheres that we're going to see inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. I'll tell you what I'm not excited about is five straight home games to start the year. That should be illegal. We've done that in the past before, and I did it as a fan, and this will be a time that I'm doing it as a media member, as a worker, as somebody that shows up 4 hours before kickoff and leaves about 2 hours after, I guess about an hour or two after the game is over. Man, you got to have an off week in there somewhere. I like to be a fan sometimes too. I like to sit down on my couch and watch games or go to a tailgate or go to a watch party and have those things rather than here we go again. Right? And for you, the fan, and for everybody that works and is involved and those around the city of Auburn, I mean, man, those 5 weeks, it's a lot on folks around here, man. And you're going to see it, and it's okay. I mean, we're blessed to be able to do what we do, and we're blessed to have the opportunities that we have. But those 5 straight weeks of home games, I'm speaking from experience, and a lot of you can do the same. It should just flat out be illegal. Side note that I just reminded myself of, shout out to all of the Auburn High School graduates that will be graduating tonight over at Duck Sanford Stadium. So if you're going to be driving around town, be sure to maybe avoid that sign. Maybe avoid the duck over there. And if you're going to get some food tonight, maybe get it to go. Maybe get it to go. It's going to be a busy time over there. But congratulations to all of those graduates and Opelika, Lee Scott, everybody that's getting out of here and moving on with their lives. That hit me, and I forgot that was going on today. So congratulations to all of the high school graduates around the area. Going to be a busy one in Auburn once again tonight for Auburn High School's graduation over at Duck Sanford Stadium. We've got 30 more minutes here on the show. It's Thursday. Coming up, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He will join us. We'll talk all things Southeastern Conference when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we are joined, as always on Thursdays at this time, by the host of your daily Locked On SEC podcast, your daily SEC podcast on YouTube and wherever you get your audio podcasts as well. Chris Gordy, what's up, man? How are you? Happy Thursday.
Yo, what's going on, man? Yeah, it's we're heading to the final week of May. Memorial Day is here. We will be off into the summer. I know we got the SEC meetings down in Destin this coming week, and we're ever so closer to the start of another college football season.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the spring meetings, because that's a conversation and something that we always talk about going into those, and that's where I want to start today. And in your opinion and in your mind, is there anything that's going to be at the forefront of those meetings when the biggest names around the conference get together for the few times that happens in a calendar year? Anything in particular that you think they're going to be discussing, or maybe that they should be discussing?
Well, what's so interesting is, you know, Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports put out there this afternoon, he said the SEC has not fielded much discussion in recent months on whether they're going to play an 8-game or 9-game conference schedule 2026 and beyond. He said as of today, several administrators don't even expect it to be a hot topic at the SEC spring meetings next week. So, you know, I think a lot of, you know, the immediacy for the coaches, you know, what they're more concerned about is, you know, NIL legislation, you know, what's going to happen here with this big court settlement that's in the works, and, you know, transfer portal, signing day moving, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think all that's more at their forefront, you know, more so than future scheduling. But I still think it's silly. I mean, it needs to happen eventually, just because we have schedule inequity right now. I mean, it's so funny how many people I'm seeing, you know, talk about Texas as a favorite in the SEC this year and Oklahoma not. And the big reason why, because of the schedule. I mean, Texas got breaks with their schedule this year and coming to the SEC, and Oklahoma's is absolutely brutal. And all that changes in 2025 is the home and away flip, and it's the same opponent. And
yep.
It still is a brutal schedule for Oklahoma and still a weak schedule for Texas. And so I wish they would get to this resolution of going from 8 to 9 games. We do the 3 permanent opponents. Everybody else flips. You go to every venue in the SEC once every 4 years. The math works, but unfortunately, they can't come to terms with that. And a big reason why is because, you know, the main reason is because of the money issue with the TV networks and the SEC. And Greg Sankey saying, well, if you want a 9th conference game, you got to pay extra for it. But on the flip side, you got the schools that play the traditional non-conference rivalry game that they schedule, but they don't want to make it tougher for themselves. And I'm talking about Kentucky when they play Louisville, South Carolina when they play Clemson, Florida playing Florida State. I get it's a non-conference rivalry you want to keep every year, but I'm sorry, the rest of the SEC shouldn't have to suffer because you play a tough non-conference. Hey, quick disclaimer, almost everybody else plays tough non-conference games anyway. I mean, last I checked, Alabama's going to play at Wisconsin this year. LSU's mm-hmm. going to play USC. I mean, everybody else does it. So just schedule your 3 cupcakes, or your, in this case, your 2 other cupcakes, and be done with it. It's just, I think those coaches, the Shane Beamers, the Mark Stoops and those people, I think they look at it and go, why would I make this tougher for myself and play a 9th SEC game? But, I really thought we would already be, if you'd asked me 2-3 years ago, I would have said we would have already been into a 9-game SEC schedule, but it just seems like we're further and further away from that happening.
It just makes too much sense, right, Chris? It just makes too much sense for that to happen around the SEC and for it to be, uniform across the conference and for it to all just to work out and make sense. And it's not surprising to me that the TV contracts and the TV negotiations and the millions and millions of dollars are probably the biggest thing that's hanging all this up is, yeah, like you mentioned, Greg Sankey saying, yeah, if you want that extra SEC game, ESPN, we're not just going to give it to you. You're going to have to fork over some cash.
Yeah, it's, it came on the heels of them agreeing to this new deal with ABC and saying goodbye to CBS. And, it was a $1 billion deal or whatever spread out over many years. But again, when they agreed to it, that was with everybody playing 8 conference games. And I get it. I mean, you're going to add a 9th conference game to everybody's schedule. Those are more premier games, and ESPN and Disney should pay a premium for that. I get where Greg Sankey's coming from, but I just think it's unfair to the fans of this conference that there are venues that we never get, that we go decades, over a decade without ever having gone.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I bring it up all the time, but, A&M's been in the conference now over a decade, 12 years, and Georgia's never been to Kyle Field. I mean, it's stupid that this happens. LSU went to Lexington a couple years ago. It had been 10 years since they had been there. Alabama went to the Swamp, a couple years ago. It had been a decade since they had been there. It's just, it's silly. We can't call ourselves a conference and then have teams that go over a decade without going to opposing venues. It's got to be more rotational.
And the divisions were such a big problem with that because you played all the teams in the West or all the teams in the East, and then you had your couple crossovers, and it just never could work out. And now, without the divisions and with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, you would think it would open it up and give you the possibilities to do all those things. But, of course, all the obstacles still stand in the way, and it just baffles me that it's still – and I saw that tweet from Marcello that it's just not even really a discussion right now in the SEC.
Yeah, and like I said, there's way more stuff on the immediate, front burner for a lot of these coaches, particularly, signing day, NIL legislation, transfer portal, all that stuff is way more on the front end here. I mean, let's face it, Nick Saban retired because of a lot of this stuff. So there's, there's a lot of room to figure out here. And, the talk of moving up the signing day, the early signing period to the first week of December so that coaches can get out of the way. The ones that are going to go play in the, going to go play in the playoff, they want to just get it out the way. So it's crazy, man. But I do know these coaches are like, how do I build a roster here with, we have the signing day and then the transfer portal. I mean, it was crazy. It was a handful of kids that literally signed as early enrollees with their school in December, hit the transfer portal in April. Like, what are we even doing here? Like, Maybe wait till February to sign on the dotted line if you're not sure yet. I mean, this is crazy.
It's ridiculous, man. And that's all I can do. That's all you can do is laugh, because it's gotten so out of control and it's just spiraling. And there's a new situation every day in terms of all of this crazy stuff. And so I'm excited to see and kind of hear what comes out of these spring meetings coming up next week. That is next week, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's Monday, which is unusual because it's a holiday for so many people. But it sounds like they're going to get underway there. And the other one that you need to keep an eye on too is this, $2.8 billion settlement that's probably going to be coming with the revenue sharing model. And it's so funny. I mean, when you do the math and say it's over a decade that they're talking here, divided by 128 teams, divided by 100 some kids on the roster. I mean, you're talking about the back pay that some of these kids might get. You'll get a check in the mail for like $45. But moving forward, it's going to be interesting because, they've thrown out there that, school will basically have $20-something million in revenue to basically use like a salary cap to start paying players directly. And I'll be curious how the NCAA legislates that versus, with the collective, because the collectives aren't going to go away. I mean, they're still going to exist and pay players for NIL and all that kind of stuff as well. But I have been told you're going to see some domino effects. I think most of the SEC teams will be largely unaffected because their revenue they generate is so high. But you're going to see some of these smaller schools say goodbye to some of their smaller sports. And Title IX is going to get involved there. And it's not going to be pretty because Liberty's going to go, okay, well, we'll keep our softball team. But, you guys can't fly charter anymore. You got to take Southwest. I mean, you're going to have a domino effect like that. Some of these schools, like the equestrian club, see ya. The darts club, the rifle club, it's all gone because football can't foot the bill anymore. And look, rightfully so. Football is the largest generator of revenue and it's footing the bill for all the other sports. I'm sorry, that's not an excuse to not pay the football players for what the revenue they're generating. They should get a small cut of this. Albeit a small cut, they're getting they deserve a cut. And I'm sorry, we might have to say goodbye to some smaller sports because of it.
In the last handful of years, across some certain SEC schools, Auburn being one of them, we've seen some of those numbers come out, Chris, where you see the revenue generated by the major sports, right? Football, basketball, baseball, and then all the other ones behind it. And for schools like, I think I've seen LSU, Auburn, maybe Tennessee in there too, where football, of course, made a lot of money. Most basketball programs made a little bit. Some baseball, not many, broke even. And every other sport at these major universities were losing money, which is where a lot of this comes from.
Yeah, but I will say this. It's funny because my wife and I were arguing about this the other night because, you can go look at what schools made. I don't know if last year's revenues were posted, but 2022 is out there. And you look at, just look at the top 10. It's mostly all SEC schools anyway. I think Ohio State's in there, but like it's Texas A&M. And I mean, these are schools that made $232 million in revenue, $220 million in revenue. And I mean, this is way up over the last decade. And my question is, okay, if football has always footed the bill for the non-revenue generating sports, and revenues have more than doubled in the last decade, like, I don't understand why they can't still continue to foot that bill. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you were paying for the softball team to travel a decade ago and you were making half the revenue you are now, why suddenly, if we got to take, $20 million of this and put it towards back to football, we can't pay for those revenue generating sports. Okay, last time I checked, I'm not a math major, but that still left you with $200 million in revenue. Like, and people want us are out there, well, we gotta build a new complex. We gotta do this. No one's saying you gotta do that. No one's saying you gotta go build a new baseball stadium. Go to the donor fund if we need to do that. I mean, it's so crazy. Everybody, all these higher ups all want to point fingers at everybody else, and I look at some of these school presidents. And some of these schools are making $800,000, close to $1 million. It's like, your school president, is your job really that hard? Like, I don't know. I just think so. Everybody's so overpaid up top, and everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar. But then when it comes to, hey, let's put a little money in the players' pockets, everybody's pointing around, we don't have that money. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, is dirty the right word? I don't know. I don't know what word to use for it, but it just seems like it's getting to that point. And it's always been that way a little bit, but you're right. When all of this comes to settled, and things start happening, and yeah, you start waxing sports and start putting money from different places and taking it out of different pockets, that's when people start to get their feelings hurt, and it's going to it's all going to come crashing down at some point. We're talking to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He joins me every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. Chris, here in Auburn, we are celebrating because it is 100 days until Auburn football kicks off. I know some SEC teams get going earlier than that, but in a general consensus, we are just over 3 months away from the SEC season getting underway for football. What gets you most excited for 2024?
Well, it's obviously the additions of Oklahoma and Texas. It's so funny. We on my show today, on Locked On SEC, we had our buddy Jake Crane, and I kind of threw out there with him. I said, give me a team that you think is, you know, it's May, it's early, but I said, give me a team you think is underrated right now and a team that you think is overrated. And we both kind of agreed, like, we think Texas is being very overrated here. Like, a team that, prior to last year, Sark really hadn't done a whole heck of a lot at Texas. I mean, it was very disappointing to that point. And last year he got on a heater, and you know, 11 draft picks later, yeah, you had an awesome year. But you just lost 11 guys to the draft, and we're just going to assume you're just going to run it back and win 10, 11 games just because Quinn Ewers is back? Like, no, they redid the entire wide receiving core. They got to find some new studs on defense after losing Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat. Like, there's a lot of holes for Texas, and yet in our YouTube comments recently, it's all Texas and Oklahoma fans talking trash, saying, oh yeah, y'all think the SEC is big and bad. We're coming to, you know, we're going to serve y'all a dose of medicine. All this is like, okay. So that, I mean, I think that to me is the most compelling. Like, Oklahoma and Texas fans think, you know, their blank don't stink, and they think they're coming to the SEC to run roughshod. And so it's just going to be really funny to see what happens when they first, you know, take their first loss or two and realize, oh wait, this is kind of tough playing in the SEC. It's a grind. It's not like playing Kansas and Baylor back-to-back week. So, you know, that to me is the biggest storyline. The interesting part is, you know, Jake kind of said he thinks A&M is the team kind of falling under the radar. And I went with Auburn because, look, I bashed Auburn early in the offseason. I thought they should add another, you know, veteran quarterback to compete with Peyton Thorne. But I just pose this. I mean, what if Peyton Thorne does live up to the hype? What if we do see the guy that, you know, came on at Michigan State that Hugh Freeze believes in and is going to tailor the offense around him? And, you know, Jake and I kind of agree. He doesn't have to be Jaden Daniels. Can he be Brady Cook? Can he do what Brady Cook did last year and just kind of manage the game, get the ball into his playmakers' hands and all that? And if they do that, I know the road games are tough for Auburn, but you weather the storm there, you can go 9-3. I think it's doable. So that's where I kind of threw out there with Auburn. And, you know, we'll see once they get some of these other kids on campus that are supposed to come in. And you know, it's going to be very interesting when they get Perry Thompson in the fold and him, Cam Coleman, and Lambert Smith. I mean, all these pieces that they brought in, man, I think Auburn could be that team that maybe everybody's already written off as, yeah, 7-5, and that's it, let's move on. Auburn might have something to say about it before it's all said and done.
I see what you're doing here, Chris. You're trying to gain the trust of the Auburn faithful back. I see. I can hear it happening now. You're starting in May. That way they're on your side come August. And then in September when you pick Auburn to lose at home against Oklahoma, then you're hoping they won't go on you as hard.
Hey, there's some good news for Auburn fans, though. Next year, everybody makes the SEC tournament in baseball. So you guys will have something to talk about this week next year.
There it is. I was waiting for it. Well, in terms of baseball, quickly before we let you go, obviously Auburn not a part of it, but man, what a crazy story it's been so far in Hoover. Upset City, huh?
Dude, it's, I mean, for the first time since, what, 2010, the top four seeds all lost on the same day yesterday. That was crazy to see. But how about LSU, the reigning champs? They started off hot. They get in the SEC schedule, and they start getting swept and losing 2 out of 3. Well, what nobody talks about is they were facing top 10 teams every week. It was Vanderbilt. It was Tennessee. It was Arkansas. On the backstretch of the schedule, LSU started, you know, winning series. And, you know, they get to Hoover, and suddenly things start to click. And they beat the snot out of a really good Georgia team. They beat the heck out of a really good Kentucky team. And now they're getting ready to take on South Carolina in about an hour. And we'll see what they do against them. It's just so funny how it happens. LSU's just got this history of, even in down years where they're not that great, for some reason they get to Hoover and something's in the water there. The LSU fans show up in their motorhomes and they get hot. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, man, I was a little shocked that Arkansas, you know, two and barbecue there in Hoover. And you know, I was kind of joking with our buddy John Neighbors. I said, hey, you know, Dave Van Horn on the hot seat. And all the Arkansas fans got after me and said, hell no. And so I was just having some fun with him. I know he's a Hall of Fame coach, but I will say, I mean, Dave Van Horn, like, dude, what, you know, every year you're loaded. Every year Arkansas is a top 10 team, and yet they keep coming up short. I mean, their best chance was that 2018 where they blew it and ended up being runners up, but I just keep having fun with them. Like, hey, eventually Dave Van Horn's going to win one, right? Because he hasn't yet.
Yeah, they continue to put their chips on him, and eventually you got to get some results there in Fayetteville, and so while they weren't able to do it in Hoover, we'll see if Arkansas can make a run in the NCAA tournament. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, plug it all. Tell them where they can find it and what's coming up on Locked On SEC.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to enjoy me and Jay Crane saying good things about Auburn, that's up there for you today. And We'll actually, I think tomorrow we'll be talking some of the Aggies. I'm supposed to catch up with Mike Elko later today. He's in my part of town, so we'll get a little Aggie perspective tomorrow. But, yeah, check it out, Locked On SEC.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Have a great Memorial Day. We'll talk to you next Thursday right here on ESPN.
All right, you too, man.
That's Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Go check it out, YouTube or wherever you get your audio podcast. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I appreciate you all being with me here from 2 to 4 each and every day here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the show today, it's been a good one. We've had a lot of fun talking with, just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Also had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joined us back in hour number one, as both of those guys do each and every Thursday. Plus, we've talked a lot about how it is 100 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2024 season, and man, that if that doesn't get you through the rest of the week at least, then I can't help you. I don't know. That's exciting, man. We're getting into double-digit days, counting them down as we get through the end of May into June. Once we get to July, it's on. So just stick with us for the next, month plus, 5 weeks. We're going to have fun, some good hypotheticals, start breaking down the roster, doing all those things. But man, it's going to be here before we know it. And in terms of what you can expect moving forward, just continue to be excited. Continue to look forward to this Auburn football team in this football season, because there's a lot more to break down. There's a lot more to get to, and the hype will continue. And you heard Chris right there. He says Auburn is an underrated team going into 2024. And you know what? That's typically where Auburn thrives at their best. That's where they perform at the highest, is when nobody expects them to be any good. So I will be back tomorrow right here, 2 to 4 on ESPN. Christian Clemente, our recruiting guru from Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover, will be joining us in studio for all of hour number one, when we'll be talking some big, big recruiting news for Auburn. It's about to be a busy time on the plains, and the summer is here, and recruiting is 365. You know that. So Christian Clemente will be with us in hour number one. I got to get out of here. My mom's in town. Yes, she drove down from Ohio. I'm going to hang out with her for the night. She'll be in for the weekend. So I got to go clean. Don't tell her that, though. I got to go get my place ready to go and presentable, because if it's not clean when she gets there, yeah, bad things happen. I gotta go. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.